Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the parent loves the child. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome, for whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one that testifies, for the Spirit is the truth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This spring has marked a new event for our home. Mother Robin has built a nest in the weeping cherry tree. It's just outside the window in our living room, about 6 feet, literally 6 feet from the chair where I write my sermons. Mother Robin moved in quietly. We didn't notice her arrival. Mostly we've been watching the activity of the birds out back. Blue jays, cardinals, and grackles have been jostling for the suet feeder. The sparrows, the wrens, and the occasional finch have swarmed the bird seed, and those feeders get filled at least once a day. I was working on a sermon about 2 weeks ago, and my wife came into the living room. We started to have a conversation, and then she interrupted herself in mid-sentence. "There's a bird nest right behind your head. Don't move." She's in there. Well, that's too much temptation to avoid, so I looked over my left shoulder, and sure enough, there she is. I looked at Mother Robin, and she replied, "What are you looking at?" I went back to the sermon, and she went back to whatever she was working on. And then last Sunday, after I threw that sermon into the air and a couple of you caught it, I went home and picked up a rake and did a bit of yard work. If you know me, it was just a bit. We're sprucing up the flower beds. A load of mulch arrives tomorrow, and oblivious to most things around me, I had wandered into the flower bed at the front of the house. Mother Robin said, "What do you think you're doing?" and then flew away. "Sorry, I apologized, I forgot you were here." And that's when I saw a bit of blue eggshell on the ground. Somebody else was in the nest. Turns out she had given birth to triplets. So we have been watching respectfully all week, keeping our distance, letting her do her mothering work as we've gone about ours. Yesterday morning, with a daughter in from Philadelphia with a boyfriend we like very much and others coming over, we decided, let's have blueberry pancakes. They're in town. While we were doing that, turned out Mother Robin had gone grocery shopping for her offspring. She returned with a worm in her mouth about the time I was pulling the maple syrup out of the pantry. And three of our young adults watched carefully with our own mother bird as Mother Robin returned again and again to provide breakfast. That's when we counted three hungry beaks, all raised toward heaven, waiting for the mother who would provide all their needs. And when their bellies were full, she tucked them in for a nap and nestled down close. Life is a gift. Ever stop and give thanks for that? The month of May offers its reminder the lives of those things that have been dormant are coming back awake. The lawns are green, speckled with a touch of yellow. The sequence of flowering trees have burst into color along the streets. The tulips have given it all they've got, praising the one who called them from a long winter's nap. And as more and more of us gather into the same room, we testify to basically the same truth that nature confirms, that the power of life is stronger than the threat of some stupid old weary pandemic. And we testify that Easter continues. And if all of that weren't enough, today we celebrate the baptism of a handsome little guy who is new to us all. Life is a gift. Behind all this astonishing abundance is the unseen God who calls all of it, all of us, into existence. It's astonishing. It's humbling. We stop and pay attention to what's going on. It can take our breath away. And we realize all of us are part of something grand and glorious and infinitely subtle. There is life going on around us, among us, within us, and it's all a miracle. And maybe the only miracle that could possibly compare with it is the miracle that comes when someone perceives that first miracle. Birth is a miracle, and so is belief. Now, by belief, I'm using the sense in which John uses the word. It has a different shade to it than we often assume. Sometimes we assume that belief refers to some kind of mental assent to something we cannot prove and cannot see. Like the White Queen who says to Alice in Wonderland, "Sometimes I've believed as many as 6 impossible things before breakfast." But we're not talking about impossible things. We're talking about trust. Not merely the content of belief, but the inclination of the heart. That mother bird outside my window flies off to find some food. Her triplets trust she will return. They trust she will feed them and that she will raise them. And those of us who have known the care of our own mother birds are trained to trust. Those who haven't had that experience are learning trust in other ways. And when that happens, that trust is some kind of miracle. That's the sense in which John uses the word here in the text that we translate as belief. It's not merely something you do in your head or something your priest or minister told you to do when you were a doubting teenager. No, it's something you do with your soul. It's something you learn by committing your heart to it. Which is why John cannot separate belief or trust from love. We learn love by loving. We learn the love of God by letting people love us. We learn to love God by loving one another. And as we heard old John say last week, how can anybody say they love God if they don't love the people around them? That's one of the great hypocrisy texts, isn't it? Picture that pious man with the angelic smile, the hairstyle that defies gravity. He thumps his Bible, can quote all the verses, parses all the ethical matters of the day, and in his breast pocket he carries the list of people that he despises, and on the way out the door he kicks the dog. How can he say he loves if he doesn't love? It's a matter of integrity. And it's also a matter of practice. Those of us who have been blessed with a child know what a conversion experience that can be. We were so settled in our ways, comfortable in our routines, and then the baby comes. There's no greater disruption than the birth of a child. We are pushed beyond our selfishness to care now for our own little bird. And the experience will change us. Our small hearts, like the Grinch, can grow three sizes in a single day. And this is how love breaks in and promises to take over. And by the way, this is why I've come over the years to smile whenever we welcome a child inside the church, especially if he or she won't be quiet or she or he won't stay still. One of the gifts of children is that they disrupt us. They knock all the crust off our souls. We don't give birth to children in order to confine them and then reduce them into boring little adults. No, we welcome children because they remind us that all of us are children. And we want to be loved. And we want someone to trust. And we never outgrow our dependence on one another. Last week, I quoted Frederick Buechner, who told us not to be afraid. Good word for pandemic. Today, I found a verse where he gives more advice, especially for the pandemic. Listen. He says, you can survive on your own. You can grow strong on your own. You can prevail on your own, but you cannot become human on your own. We learn love by loving. We learn trust by trusting, and it's all interwoven. Maybe that's why old John is not simply giving us a word salad of all kinds of interlocking beliefs here in chapter 5. No, he speaks of loving God, and he speaks of loving the neighbor. He speaks of belief when he speaks about birth. He speaks of trust as a new kind of birth. And he says Christ commands us to love, and then says, and that's not a burden, is it? And at the heart of all, he speaks of Jesus as the one who weaves everything together. Because he is. As for me, after that first cup of coffee this morning, I read this jumbled up sermon out loud to Mother Robin. Not sure if she was paying attention. She was busy providing food, offering comfort and protection, managing the neighborhood and presiding over the nest. When I got to the line about not becoming human on your own, I could have sworn she rolled her eyes and said, why would I want to do that? Then she tucked in her triplets and told them the rest on the Sabbath. It must be wonderful. It must be wonderful to have a mother like that. Aren't you glad that we do?